Let's see if that works. Oh, it does work. Okay. Yeah, I see that shape file, and I also have it locally here, at least the version from a couple hours back.
So we should probably ask her, which address it is that's not coming across. again, kind of trying to work back. So, this is the other shortcut that I had on the desktop. In other words, the scripts folder. And again, there's a maint. This is called maint AWS because it was a newer version.
Okay.
And, okay, so they all do the same thing. We switch to the drive that the data is on, and we switch to the directory, and then we set up the environment. And this is the same whether it's on Windows or Linux. And then this is the SQL, I'm sorry, the Oracle SQL Plus client that dumps the realware data. And then the photos and sketches. Again, I think you're familiar with those, right? Okay. And then we do the treasurer in this county. And so we call the treasurer batch file. It's called treasurer OGR because I'm using OGR to OGR to dump it rather than the native Microsoft SQL Server client, which is not, I'm not fond of that. So then we're going to sync. So this is the AWS command line that syncs. And so the source is the current directory, and then the destination is the scripts. And so if we look at the current directory, you can see that we have dump, and it has the assessor stuff and it has the treasurer stuff. And then you can see that it has two other subdirectories. The instant client is the Oracle command line stuff and the logs. So you can see it's pretty much like what we're looking at with Sublet. And so I'm excluding the hidden SSH directory, which I don't think we use anymore, and I'm excluding the instant client. But by syncing from the current directory, I get that dump directory, and I also get a backup of any changes to the batch file. So then the next one is probably where her stuff is going to be. In other words, this is it's in the QGIS project. We had mapped that drive letter M, but it's obviously the BHC V server, Bighorn County Virtual Server Data Mapping Department. And oh, sorry, it looks like the only thing we're getting out of it. You kind of see what the syntax here is. In other words, this is the source, this is the destination.
We
And
don't.
then
Okay.
we exclude everything.
Except Brussels.
And then we include the geo package.
So is that BH, the virtual server, is that a network drive or what is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's not going to be where her shape files are. So we have a geo package for the parcels. And then we have a geo package for the municipal. And oh, I see. Here's, let me, I'm going to switch back to that QGIS project for a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. So you see, it's the, I, you see where it's in the shapefiles subdirectory.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also have this. I just, I had copied this and I got the municipal and Oslo's geo package locally here as well.
So this is where this is a little complex, but again, you have to exclude everything and then you specify the stuff you want. So address point is what she's having trouble with, which is this layer here. So, in other words, these are all the shape files that we're pulling out of their shapefile directory. So they, so I'm gonna, okay, so I'm shelled into maps now. And so I'm just mounting the S3 drives.
So this is mounting everything for all counties if you do it like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so again, this is sort of just best practice to go to the county that you're working in and then set up the environment.
So yes, the connection, and then it has also the directories.
Okay, so, oops, sorry, I'm not scrolling too well there.
So the addresses are actually loaded into Postgres.
Okay. So it looks like we're reading from the shapefiles directory. And I wonder if I'm not, if something's not getting copied correctly.
What is the what do they usually do in that address point? What is in there? That's just the physical address.
Right.
And what would they change on that? Was that when there
Yeah.
was a split or something?
Yeah, if they get a new like let's say it's a vacant parcel and they get a building permit, somebody wants to build a building on it, so she will assign an address to them.
So it's actually a new address that didn't exist before.
Yep.
Okay. So maybe I will probably what I should do then is to ask the addresses and then I can check it in a shape file and then I see what I have in the database if there's any difference.
Yeah, but something looks really suspicious here because, oh.
There's an old project. No, that doesn't matter.
Well,
It's from
see, here we.
October 30th. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, we'll see, we've got address PT and address POINTS. So which is which? Yeah, it looks like we got a disconnect here. See the file that I have, this is not the QGIS, well, actually it probably is. This is probably the QGIS project she's working in, and it's address underscore PT. Whereas here we have address point November 2nd, and we have address PT that's October.
So she might have worked on the address, I mean, on the points, and those are not copied over.
Right. So that looks a little suspicious to me. So I think, you need to reply to her and find out which address it is that's not showing up. Get one or two examples from her. And then try to work with her and figure out, because October 30 is just a few days ago, and yet this is, oh,
But that is Saturday. I don't think she works on Saturday, does she?
no, I've got something else going on here, Karsten. Sorry, this is my fault. I'm out. You can see this is at 2 a.m. So that's, I'm outputting that just for rendering purposes. Okay, so let's continue.
Well, October 30th was fit if she asked me the day after. That's something
Right.
wrong that could fit.
Okay, so that's not the problem. I'm just that's not the problem. It looks okay. The address points are probably being used in the
Also, something remind me, you said, is that, yes, the same IT person doing two counties?
Yeah.
Bighorn, and what was the other one?
Hot Springs.
Okay. And you had sent an email to that person, I remember.
Right. Yeah, so you should follow up with him. I mean, if you're having trouble getting the tunnel set up, you could simply ask him to add your IP address. If you have a static address, IP address at your house.
I don't. I had like a thin DNS instead, but I haven't used that for a while.
Yeah, well, you should do the tunnel. I mean, that's really better anyway. Okay, so you can see I've got the map file open, and so the address points is is clearly for rendering purposes, okay?
So you're making a copy of that PT version of it?
Yeah. Okay, so we loaded into Postgres. Oh, sure, I see what I'm doing. Yeah, this makes sense. So I do a lot of this where I write stuff out as a shapefile for improved rendering. So you can see that I'm selecting it from ownership too. And
So it goes into Postgres and then you write it out again.
right. So let's take a look at what I'm doing with it in
And you
Postgres.
create a shape tree index and that.
Yeah. So addressing is very complex because there's a lot of variation between the different counties. And It's for most of the counties, the address, and we're talking the site address or street address, comes from the assessor's data. But in a lot of the counties, they have additional addressing that's point objects. Like in the simplest scenario, we just pull it out of the assessor's data, we create a centroid on the polygon, and we're done with it. But in the more complex ones, we have the assessor's data, which is, associated with primarily with polygons, and then we conflate it with point addressing. And the two things we get out of that deal is we can have additional addresses. Like, for example, if there's multiple site addresses on one parcel, the assessor's only tracking the first address, the primary address. But if they have a secondary residential building on it, it may have another address. And the other thing we get out of it is that we can more accurately spatially locate that point over top of the building. So if you had a large ranch, say 600 acres, and the address, the buildings were off in a corner of it, you don't really want to just go with the centroid. And so in this case, what we're doing is we're conflating a point address layer with a polygon layer. And so let's see what we're doing in this county. So the first thing, these are just mailing addresses. You can see the mail address. So we can skip that. Mailing addresses. Okay, so street addresses. So the first thing we're doing here is we're copying from the RealWare data mart. So this is just loading up the assessor's address into ownership too. So here's the comment. Address points come from the address shape file. So what I'm testing for is the address number, does it match, and is it in the polygon? And if it doesn't, then we create a fake PIDN for it. The PIDN is sort of necessary. Everything needs to have a PIDN. It's not truly a primary key, but it can kind of be treated as one. Yeah, okay. And then finally, we update the point geometry from the address points. In other words, we move the label over top of the structure. And if we don't have, if we don't have one, we create a centroid for it.
Okay, and that's no geometry.
Okay. So yeah, there's a lot of conflation steps there. And they're a little bit confusing.
So if there's multiple addresses on the main parcel, is that where does that show up? Is that a different table, or does it just concatenate it into a text field or something?
Everything. I mean, it's a broad statement, but everything goes into ownership two. And it's called ownership two because it has points and potentially polygon objects. And so there's two columns in there. And the important the thing we really leverage PostgreSQL text search. And so if we have a parcel and it's 100 Main Street, and the user puts in 100 Main Street, obviously we're going to get that parcel for them. And if that's the primary address, site address on that parcel, the assessor has it in their database, and we've conflated it with the point. And so we show them, the parcel with the full ownership information. But let's say that on that same tax parcel, there's also a secondary address, and it's 102 Main Street, and it's a storefront. And the assessor's database, we don't have a 102, but in the addressing database, we do have a 102 Main Street. And so we have a point object for it. And so we want to be able to answer a user's search for either one. I'm going to see if we can. So these are ones where we made up a fake address and a fake, I'm sorry, a fake PIDN. And so it starts with AP, which is address point. And then you can see that we really don't have much info on them. In other words, we don't have an account number, a tax ID, we don't have an owner. But when we start getting over here, we do have a site address. In other words, we have a street number, we have a street name. And so if I take this, this is sort of a silly example because I put in the parcel number. Our made up parcel number, but I don't know if that's, I don't know if she really put that there. I don't see a building, but she might have seen something that I don't see. But so if I click on this parcel, you can see that the site address that's in the assessor's database is 4148. But we also have a 4096. So the 4098. 4148 rather is down here. Doesn't look like she's done a wonderful job of getting them in the right place, but you get the idea is that this is the primary address. And so we get all the full ownership information and so on it. But we also have the secondary address up here of 4096. And so, oh, well, they've got a bunch of addresses on here. I can see they've got a 4040, a 4140, 4144, 4148, which all show up over here too. So the point of it is we conflate all these into that one ownership two table. And so then we can label all these point addresses. So we're labeling all the points from that address underscore points shapefile, but we've also got them in the ownership to table so that they can be searched with a full text search. Is that clear as mud, or does that kind of make sense?
90% does make sense. The only thing I'm not 100% sure is if you're saying then you have four entries in the addresses too, and then they have the same main address that they get together.
Right, there's four records in there. And so one of them, the address matches. And so we get the full ownership information. In other words, this 4148, we get a match with the assessor's office. And so we get all the ownership info there. But the other buildings on the property, the only thing we have is the address and the point geometry for that. So that's these three here.
Yeah. So in a query, you do a group by the address or something?
No, they're separate records. In other words,
So you have, and each of them has a point geometry in there in that
right.
table? Okay. Yeah, that makes much more sense because I wasn't really sure what they were doing with that stuff. Seven and a half.
So, well, this one's tough because there's a lot of parcels on it. There's 33 parcels on it. But see, this one is an AP. This one's an AP. This one's an AP. This one's an
And
AP.
all the ones without AP are real ones.
Right. So all the ones with an AP are. This is obviously a larger ranching, these are bigger parcels. And so they have multiple structures on them. Like, let's see if we can. I'm trying to find the acreage. Sorry, well, they're not huge, but they're between 40 and. This isn't a great example, but this one's actually just a 1 acre parcel. But probably a couple of these bigger ones, the 40 acre and the 35 acre, 30 acre, have multiple structures on them that have addresses. And so the first thing I think is to find out from Stephanie, get a couple examples of ones that aren't being displayed. And then start working through the chain, make sure that they're at least in Postgres. Make sure that they've at least made it that far. In other words, you can just do a, well, to see if they're at least in Postgres, we know that the table is going to be address point. And so what I do, did she send any in the
Oh,
emails?
didn't say exactly, just said that something doesn't show up.
So I would go, we kind of know what the flow is that it's going to go into Postgres and then we're going to do a bunch of conflation steps on it. And so I would make sure that at least it got into this table in Postgres. And then these can be difficult to track down, but you would whatever it is, street address and the number somewhere, street address and street no, and see if it got into Postgres. And so then at that point, if it's in Postgres, we can eliminate a failure in the transfer of the data. And so then we have to look at our processing of it. Did somewhere in all those complex steps, as you can see, there's about eight SQL statements in there to get it conflated. Is there an error there? And then we know that we're writing it out. So this is kind of where we're spitting it out on the other end. And so we're selecting the point geometry from the ownership too. So is it coming out, on the other end, so to speak? And if it's not coming out on the other end, but it's going in to Postgres at the beginning, then we have to look at our steps and start trying to figure out, like, has she done something weird with this one where our rules, the logic, the SQL statements of our conflation steps are failing? So it's like, did it transfer? That's an easy one. If it did transfer and it's not coming out the other end, so to speak, why not? And why would probably be because we didn't accommodate some rule or some aspect of what she was doing. I'm going to go back to her server just for a second here, since we know where we're looking. And make sure. Yeah. So the dates we're seeing on maps for the shapefile are matching what she's got on the server. So it doesn't look like the shapefile. It doesn't look like there's a failure there getting it copied. So we need some examples from her, like ones that she's put in, and figure out why it's not coming over to us.
Okay, yeah, I'll just ask her and then go down the line of the processing and see where this could come from.
Yeah, the conflation of the address points is probably the most complex stuff we do. hard to guess, it certainly doesn't surprise me if there was a problem. And so it is a chore. That's where you have to kind of start working through it one at a time and see what why it's not coming across.
Okay. Has she worked on that for a long time, or is she new or old in that business?
She's not a young person, but she's pretty inexperienced. She GIS was kind of thrown in her lap. There's two women in Bighorn County that do GIS, and one of them is a younger woman, and she does the parcel stuff. And they're both very new to GIS, and I'm quite happy that I got them to use QGIS. The woman who's doing the parcel work is probably a little sharper. She's a little, she understands it a little bit better. The woman who's doing the addressing, she's very patient, and she's a perfect person for, a task that just takes, a lot of repetitive work, but she doesn't have enough experience to do any serious problem solving. But
Okay.
But it
It could
is
be a very
nice.
simple, it could be a very simple user error or not user error necessarily, but she did something put in there that we didn't provide for.
Very possible. But this is all like super constructive because you can see the steps that I have to take, to refresh my memory on what I'm doing. And this is certainly a scenario that's about as complex as it gets.
Okay.
But the thing that one of the advantages we have here is that they're QGIS County. In other words, they're using QGIS internally, and we can remote right in and open up the same project file that she's working in. In this case, it might not do as much, it might not really help us, but sometimes it's really handy. So while we're in here, I'll just show you one or two other things that we sometimes need to change. So this is the Oracle SQL file.
Okay.
And I think one of the things that I had in the notes, the to-do list, I noted that there were some annual things. And so there's three and then sometimes four tax years. And so the way the law works is that a property gets the assessor's job is to define the value of property.
Okay.
And then, based on the value, of course, the taxes are calculated. And so the value of the property is determined by whatever condition the property was in on the 1st of January. And so the reason that the work year is 2025 is if a person like split a piece of property off, say they chopped off 5 acres and sold it in July, that doesn't really go on the tax roll until next year. But it's still going to be a parcel that they're going to map. And they want to have, like they may want to have an address on it, and they want to have an owner for it, and so on. So the work year is where we pick up future year stuff. In other words, it's not on the tax roll yet, but in the GIS, we need to be able to, have a person be able to click on that property and see who owns it. The tax year. So starting on January 1st, they start setting the values, and then about April, May, they send out what are called notice of values. And so it tells a property owner what the assessor thinks their property is valued at for that year. And then the property owner has a 30-day period which they can appeal or protest. And then around June, the values are fixed. In other words, if they haven't protested, then they're stuck with the values they got. And then there's a process of setting the mill levies, and then the tax bill for that year actually goes out like in August, usually pretty late August. And so that's why the tax year is 2024. In other words, we want to show the values for 2024 once they're set, but not before then, because early you can pay your taxes for the prior year up through, I believe it's sometime in April of the following year. And so we want to show the tax year for what they owe the county, not, something in the future. And then the characteristics kind of falls in that same category. Are we showing the characteristics for the future year? In other words, what their values are going to be. Characteristics are like all the stuff in the property detail. How many square feet is it? All the stuff that determines the value of the property. And so, do we want to show them what it's going to be for next year, or do we want to show them what it is for the year that they owe taxes on? And so, they will tell you when the tax year and the characteristics year need to be moved forward. I just have some general notes about it. But pretty much early January, you will go to each county and you will set the work year to the next year. So, in other words, sometime in a first half of January next, you will change the work year to be 2026. And then you can see Gina is the name of the assessor, and she likes it after the appeals period, so like late May. And she'll tell you when she's done. She'll send you an email. And it looks like in her case, you can set both of these at the same time. But that kind of, and who knows, this may change a little bit once they move away from having Oracle running on each county.
And so each county has that, these two variables here.
Yep.
Okay. So is there, okay. Well, well, that sounds good.
Yeah. One other thing that we kind of touched on really quick this morning, I'm not sure if it was clear what I was saying was I think for now I'm just going to log off of these guys, okay?
Okay.
Did you have any other questions on Bighorn County?
No, that sounds good. I sent her an email and then I follow up and check what I can find. And to be determined, we'll see. I'm used to digging around for stuff like that.
Well, and she's a really sweet person. She's very patient. She's not
It's not a bulldog.
no, not at all. And you may have to do a little back and forth with her to narrow it down. But it's definitely worth it to communicate with her a little bit. And just try to figure out what the problem is because she'll appreciate it and we'll get to the bottom of it. And you're certainly welcome to tell her that I'm out of town for a while and that we will need to look at it together at a later date, and she will have no problem with that. Did you understand why I sent you and Eldon this thing?
I didn't have time to look at that yet. So basically, it's just one side is the different formats that are not post GIS. And the client said, okay.
So the deal was, I sent this to you guys in response to Park County's request, and
Well, the
she wanted to know why
oh,
there,
the extent of the aerials was different.
right? So, you can see
So there's no data for on the server.
well, you can see that it's coming from Map Server, And you can see that it's a that there's two requests. One is just the imagery, and the other is the line work. It's a little hard to see because it's a transparent
Okay.
PNG. So I'm going to do something that isn't quite the way we would want to do it, but I just want to bring home this idea. So the layer in question is the Aerial Photography 2023. And what I was saying in that shared doc was that it can be sir in some of these cases, I mean, I'd say most of these where it's an open layers layer, it can either be served from a third party. I guess I should sh let me show you the source first. So the sources, okay, so there's the source, right? And so the source is coming off of the pictometry.com image server, and it's a WMTS. But in the open layers, I have it commented out. And so if I uncomment it, and I save it, I want to back out just so that we can really see what's going on here. So this is coming off of Maps. And now I'm going to do a hard reload. I'm going to go Control Shift R. And what the heck, it didn't change. Oh, sorry, I had planned. This is good we're doing this. I should add this to the notes.
Well, you must have had another layer before in there, right? It must be the layer that was added before.
One second here.
Okay. So you, there was a the layer that was there before that was messing up with the new one.
So you can see this kind of answers your question, right?
A bigger extent of that one.
Right.
And that is the local files.
No, you can see this is coming off.
All right.
It's a tile server, and it's coming off of the pictometry.com.
Okay, and the other one source you showed me was another one, different one. I don't know what is the difference between the two. It's
Well, see, this is coming off of our server.
okay, well, that is a local one. Okay.
Right.
Basically, you did that, and then the other ones are providing bigger coverage than what the state provides or something.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird deal. So this is what probably the contract was. It gets complex because the state provides some amount of funding for the imagery. And then this company, Eagleview, with the pictometry server, they will often negotiate with the county to get the county to throw in more money to cover a larger area. But with any photogrammetric project, they have to fly a little bit beyond the boundaries that were requested by the client anyway. And so what we're looking at here is probably the contract coverage area. And then when we switch to their server, we can see that they actually flew a hell of a lot more. But have you worked with photogrammetry much, or with the folks that actually do the flight lines and so on?
Not with the folks, just putting in layers.
It's interesting, especially in mountainous areas, because they need to keep a fairly constant height above ground to meet the photogrammetric spec. And so they design these flight lines, to deal with terrain. And especially like here in the mountains, a lot of the populated areas are going to be down along the creek and river bottoms, down in the valleys, and not up in the mountains. But the request will probably have, the request could easily have a few thousand feet of vertical change from the lowest to highest points. And so they do some really complex stuff with their flight lines to accommodate that. And so what we're seeing here is that this company, EagleView, has obviously flown way more acreage than the contract. And any photogrammetrist is going to fly a little more acreage than contract, just by, that's just sort of the nature of the problem. But in this case, they've flown a hell of a lot more. And so they deliver a hard drive to the county that has what we saw previously. It's just cropped. They've cropped the imagery to what the contract was. But then they got this WMS server, and this one's probably the biggest one, where it's like way more coverage area than the contract. In all of them, it's a bit more. And so the deal was, is that earlier this year, I started using the Pictometry WMS server. And then it was down one day. Their server was down. And so I went around and I did exactly what, I'm showing you here, is that I can switch back and forth, pretty quickly between serving up off of our data through map server and switching back to the WMST. And so I put it back. I went through all the counties where I was using the WMS that was down, and switched them. And this was one of the items that's on this Google Doc, is like, I asked the sales representative, I thought I had it in here. Oh, there it is. Dorothy. I asked Dorothy, was it legal or within the, she's the one that told me, here's the URL for the WMS. And I went, wow, this is cool. This saves me a hell of a lot of work. And so then it went down, and I said, is this within the license? And oh, well, she says, oh, I guess I have to renew the license for you guys or something. And I went, well, is my use of this within the license? And she's never given me a straight answer. And so then, and I've asked several times. Jason is the other guy, and I'm not sure what their respective, they're the Northern Rocky Mountain representatives. I'm not sure exactly what the difference is, but Jason has been around longer, but he said I needed to talk to Dorothy. And so I cannot get a straight answer out of him as to whether our use of the WMS is within their contract or not.
Okay, well, she gave it to you, so it's maybe it's some gray zone.
Well, she said, so last time I talked to her, I said, hey, I sold the business. And she said, oh, great. When the dust settles, let's get together and do a Zoom meeting with her and Jason and you and me. So that's where I've got this go over options. And
Okay, and I get what you're getting at.
so
But
what
basically, you can t leave that edit in because you wanted to try that for her because the coverage is now bigger with that one.
Right. And so the one thing I should do here is I don't know why.
Supplemental as edited. Was that the county where I did change the name of this one person?
Oh, yeah.
What was in this drop-down list for the assessors?
Okay. So I've committed it there. You should just make sure you do an update SVN up on Terra.
Okay. Maybe we should wrap it up for today.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure Connie's probably ready for me to wrap it up.
So that
Okay.
was pretty good. Just for I have like on my list is so could you share some of the other QGIS projects you have or in some way with me? That would be another one. Request not all of them are needed, but if you have any to share, they could.
Sure.
And then email, share QGIS. Okay, I have that. I have that one. Okay, I look into the client, send the email, changes.
Well, and figure out who hasn't responded to you.
Yeah, we'll do that.
And I can make a little bit of time tomorrow to do a little bit of that work, to send you some QGIS projects, you definitely need to get paid, but you also need to start working with the IT folks, and stop using my credentials or whatever it is to remote in and start using your own, and that'll take. That'll take some time also with the individual counties.
Okay, I noted all these. Sounds good to me then.
All right.
Thanks, Richard.
You bet. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye then.
See you.